Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When a loved one starts talking about what their wishes are for when they are gone, our first reaction is to sort of recoil. "Don't go talking like that now," is the initial response, usually followed by some meager sentiment of hope, something like, "Everything is going to be okay." But there comes a point in the process of dying when everyone realizes that everything is not going to be okay. In fact, when it comes to death, it's all wrong. There's nothing that anyone can do but succumb to its grip. And we can deny it all we want, but death will take us. And it's sort of like turning a corner when everyone realizes this is it. I don't know if you've ever been in the room when that corner has been turned, but the whole mood of the room changes, especially when words like palliative care are spoken. Right, it's kind of a term that we use to distance ourselves from the terrors of death. Sort of a fancy way of saying, "I surrender. This is it." And we strangely find comfort in this term, as though the lack of pain makes the death somehow easier to swallow. And yet, there is this strange moment where there is a sense of relief, knowing that there's no pressure anymore to try and save this person, because everyone knows that there truly is nothing more to be done. But at the same time, there's this hesitancy to give up. And so once that corner has been turned, well, it's a nervous place. And in the moments between the nervous silence, people begin to share. They begin to sort of practice and rehearse the memories that they will cling to once this loved one has died. Ironically, it can be in the final hours near death that the life of a person takes center stage. That is, except for Jesus. Tonight we're reminded that Jesus receives no palliative care as he hangs in excruciating pain on an executioner's pole. He is quite conscious, quite aware of the comments being made about him in that nervous moment. Not comments remembering his wonderful and full life, no, rather jeers, snide remarks, taunts calling into question his divine power. And yet, there in that moment, as death looms large for Christ, Jesus is concerned about life. While all attention is focused on him, he turns his focus to his family, to his mother, and he starts talking like that. He starts discussing what his wishes are for when he is gone. He says to his mother, "Woman, behold your son," and to John, "Behold your mother." Criminals were allowed to do this from the cross. They were allowed to make final wishes concerning their family as they hung there, and their pronouncements were considered legally binding. So husbands and sons could make provisions for the women in their family, even in their final hours of life. And so Jesus does just that. He makes sure that his mother will be cared for. And it would be kind of foolish to hear that and say, "Now, Jesus, don't start talking like that. Everything will be okay." No, everyone knows that when a man is hung on a cross, there's no turning back. He's turned the corner, if you will. He is there to die. Now, of course, these words that Jesus speaks kind of raise a question. Why does Jesus call his mother woman? It seems kind of distant, kind of separated. Why not call her mother? Well, perhaps it is to remind her that this is the ultimate work for which he came. And of course, the motherly instinct is to endure the pain and suffering of her children on their behalf. And yet, at that cross, she stands there utterly helpless. In fact, if she had taken Christ's place, his work of salvation wouldn't have been accomplished. No, it must be him, and him alone, who will die for the sin of the world, as painful and difficult as that must have been for this mother to watch her son die unjustly at the hands of sinful men. Her well-being is probably the last thing on her mind as her son dies right in front of her, and yet Jesus is concerned about her life, her well-being. You know, you wonder if Mary recalled the words of Simeon some 30 years earlier, right? When her baby Jesus was just 8 days old, they walked into the temple and old man Simeon saw this infant Christ and rejoiced, praising God for the salvation that he got to see with his very own eyes. But Simeon also bore some sobering news to Mary. Barely a week old, this child's excruciating future was foretold. Simeon said, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign that is opposed, that is the cross, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also." And so there, at the foot of the cross, 30 years later, Mary's soul is pierced as she watches her beloved son die. His hour was here, an hour that belonged to him and him alone, and yet even there he shows love for this woman. Woman, behold your son, and to John, behold your mother. Even in death, when all eyes are on him, Christ looks out for the well-being of the life of his loved ones. The corner has been turned. There's nothing anyone can do, not Mary, not even Jesus himself. The perfectly capable Son of God refuses to come down from the cross and instead takes care of his mother's life even as he dies. And you see, that is where we see Christ's love, not only for his mother, but also for us. See, the cross is the place where Christ is concerned about your life, even in the face of his death. Jesus does not only make provisions for his mother's future at the cross, but also for yours. For he knows the depth of your sin, that's why he's there. He knows the wrath of God that you deserve because of your sin, that's why he's there. He also knows there's nothing that you can do to save yourself, and that's why he's there. He endures the punishment for you. He takes your sin. He dies your death. He absorbs the full force, damning wrath of God for you. That is what your forgiveness looks like. And now, you have peace with God. You are no longer condemned by the law. You have forgiveness and hope and salvation. In one word, you have true and eternal life. At the cross, Mary beholds her new son, and John beholds his new mother. We behold our Savior, and he beholds us, sinners. Forgiven sinners, whose future life is secure in the bloody death and the glorious resurrection of this woman's son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.